The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I had no idea that this was going to go anywhere. This was a 30-second prayer in Bremerton, Washington, of all places. Nobody's even heard of this place. And this made it to the Supreme Court and made national news. And that's the power of God, that He is turning the world around. And we've had more religious freedom now because of this case and the way that the Supreme Court has ruled.
Coach Joe Kennedy shares how he became an unlikely champion of religious freedom. Next on Life Today.
You know, I remember this, and by the way, let me just say this. I've been preaching this over 60 years, 62 years preaching, 61 years married to her. I think she had to see if preaching maybe I could make enough living for us to have some place to live. But this is the first time I've ever had a voice. When I was average in 5 days a week, when I was in 8-day crusades, I would speak an average of 5 times a day. This is the worst week it's ever been, but I got great speakers this week, and you don't want to miss them. Matter of fact, I've got men this week that God sent, I believe, to help inspire not just the next great spiritual awakening, but the greatest spiritual awakening in the history, not just of America, but the world. That's what I believe we have the opportunity for. Average Joe is the title. This is a coach, if you remember. He just asked people who wanted to come up in Washington, who wanted to come from his high school, after the game, just come out and pray. He's going to pray. And you know, they fired him. They fired the man for praying. Where the First Amendment protects everyone's right to worship and express themselves, whether they're right or wrong. And what they did to him was wrong. They fired him. Cost him everything, basically, except his family. Okay. One man's faith and the fight to change a nation, Joe Kennedy. This book is great. There he is, smiling. By the way, he's not going to coach football. So I'm going to ask him what he is going to coach. I have an idea. He wants to inspire people that prayer, prayer birthed this nation. Prayer led to every great awakening. Throughout history, prayer has moved mountains. And there's some that need moving. Joe, I want you to know it's an honor to meet you.
Thank you, sir.
I love the pictures of you just out there. And then you went back out and showed him, and I was just here like this. You weren't bothering anybody. Had many of the players or many people before we saw you kind of by yourself, you know, and then you're gone. Had many come out to join you? It didn't look like you were creating some kind of a mass movement that should suddenly disturb people.
Yeah, well, it originally started just myself. I was just thanking God. After I watched the movie Facing the Giants, I was inspired, just like the coach was there, to just really dedicate his life and his team and the way he looked at sports to give God the glory. And that's the only thing I did, was just do that. I took a knee after every game. And for months, kids didn't even know what I was doing. Coaches didn't know what I was doing. They asked me, they said, "Coach, what are you doing out there on the 50? And I said, "I'm just thanking God for what you guys did and being part of it." And over time, they said, "Well, can we come out and join you?" And I said, "It's America. You can do whatever you want to do." And they started coming out. So hit and miss. You know the way kids are. Kids are fickle. If you lose by a large number, obviously, you know, they're not wanting to come out there and give thanks for anything. And the same thing goes when they're really excited, they lose their minds. But I always gave thanks. And over the years, it kind of grew, and it depended, you know, what day of the week it really was. But at the end, in the 8 years that I coached there, at the end, we had every one of the schools in our school district out there on the 50-yard line praying with us.
Isn't that amazing?
Which was so amazing.
What set this thing off where they fired you, of all things?
Of the craziest way that could possibly happen is that actually somebody from another school district saw what we were doing and actually called the principal of our high school and gave a compliment and said, "I went to the football game. I saw what was going on. I just got to tell you, what I saw was awesome." So that started an investigation, which, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, I guess, in today's world. And they started the investigation, and they said, "Well, just stop praying with the kids." And I said, "Well, that's unfortunate, but it's your school, your rules. I'm not here to buck the system. I just want to coach football. I, this is not a big deal to me. So I went back to just praying by myself. And then somebody really had an offense to that because they could still see me praying and exercising my right as an American. And they said, you have to stop doing that. And that's where I had to choose a line, which no American should ever be forced with, to choose between their job and their faith. And as an American and a former service member, I fought to defend the Constitution, and it really means something to me. And if they're doing this to me, imagine what they're doing to other people here in America. So I said, enough is enough, and it was the right thing to do. I tell these kids to always do what's right. I don't care if it's not popular. I don't care if it costs you everything. But you are to do what is right. And it was just a simple act of me taking a knee ended up making it all the way to the Supreme Court.
You remember how you felt when you saw that?
I mean, I can't even imagine. You probably wouldn't have dreamed in 1,000 years that something like this would have happened just from getting on your knees and praying by yourself.
Yeah, and everybody that knows me from growing up, because I had a troubled past and like a lot of other people.
I was very similar.
We've been down a rocky road, and of all the things that I could have been fired for, praying was probably not in the top 100 things. So it was really amazing that that's what they chose to, you know, fight this on, and how much they wanted to fight it. That's the part I couldn't understand. It wasn't that I was, you know, an outsider or not popular with the school. We were friends for over a decade. My wife was the human resource director for the school district. I mean, we were a tight-knit family. We go to holiday parties together. So this isn't something that, and it's a small town, so this was huge. This was a huge burden on everybody. It was terrible. I hated every minute of it.
Yeah, well, we've been taught that you separate church and state. You know, it's not to come together in any way or to be mixed.
Whereas the First Amendment says it shall not be pulled apart by any power.
Yeah. And that's the best thing about what the Supreme Court, when they ruled on this, like you said, I had no idea that this was going to go anywhere. This was a 30-second prayer in Bremerton, Washington, of all places. Nobody's even heard of this place. And this made it to the Supreme Court and made national news. And that's the power of God, that He is turning the world around. I see more revivals and more things about God going on now than any time in my lifetime. And we've had more religious freedom now because of this case and the way that the Supreme Court has ruled. So these people are actually doing the right thing up in the Supreme Court. As much as we'd like to complain, at least there's one place in that's still a little bit of hope in America.
Well, because of prayer, there was a very positive change in the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
In the last few years. It was a drastic change, and it was a result of prayer. Just like this nation was birthed, the result of prayer.
Amen.
Don't ever forget, our founders understood that. Even those that wouldn't claim to be Christian or great Christian, they might call them deists, but all of them believed in nature's God. All of them believed in divine sovereignty. All of them believed, as even Benjamin Franklin said, that God didn't build a house, the house is built in vain, unless He builds it. And he said, when all these others prayed throughout history, why would we not be praying right now when we're struggling as we're trying to get through, you know, whether it's the Declaration of Independence or whether it's the Constitution, they knew, they understood, as a result of prayer and answered prayer, that certain things had to be kept in place. I've written a book on the principles right now that are essential to the survival of freedom. And there's not anything that works from marriage, relationships, business, teams, anything, if you don't understand the principles that are put along with Jay Richards in the Fight the Good Fight. Well, basically, that's what you're inspiring people to do. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you have any idea why all this happened and what God wants to do with it? Because you say you're not going to coach anymore. Now, you did get your job back.
Yes.
You could have had jobs anywhere. Why did you decide now not to coach? Is there something else that you're going to, in a way, coach?
Well, I really wish that coaching was still in my heart. It is for some part. I don't know what that part is. But they took the fun out of it with the school district. And it's not my calling anymore. Now, I think God's calling me to do a different fight, to teach people about what the Constitution is, what's the rights as an American, and the simple thing of being able to stand up as an American. Because if we don't stand up, we will all fall. And I think a lot of people just need help standing up. And I would love to be that guy to help. I would be proud to stand with anybody that wants to stand up and fight for their rights. And whatever God's calling me to do, I'm in. I'm just all in for God.
Okay, I'm hearing you say I'd like to coach the family of God to play like a team, to play like gifted members, that are committed to what their gifting is for the purpose of succeeding at their coach and owner's goal, which our Father has a goal, our Father has a dream, and it's for His will to be done on His earth by His family, the church, the body of Christ. And this is the thing I've been saying to you, and I'm just check you, Coach, see if you agree. I think that Jesus is coming back for a bride that looks like Him, because He's coming for a bride dressed, adorned in His glory. And that glory doesn't come on and adorn you and dress you unless you have come together in supernatural unity, divinely connected to each other, using the unique divine gifting, the supernatural enabling of God, the anointing of God to carry you so you fulfill His design and His purpose and His desire, submitted to one head. Now, does that sound like a message that somebody could take as a coach and coach the family of God to be that way?
I think you should be a coach now. Maybe you missed your calling.
Well, you know, maybe I'm a coach as a preacher.
And this preacher kind of coaches,
because if you don't teach your team how to do it, don't just yell at them and tell them. Show them how to do it. Teach them how to do it. Inspire them in doing it. I think you could do that.
I'd like to think so. I love the title of your book, because fighting the good fight, that's been my mantra, I think, since day one. And, every time I sign my name, I always put, 2T47 in there, because, 2 Timothy, you got to fight the good fight. You got to finish the race, and you got to remain faithful.
You were out there praying alone on the field. How important has prayer in other areas of your life been?
Prayer has been absolutely 100% vital. I didn't find the Lord until I got married. I was unequally yoked with my wife, and God, I was failing as a husband. So I turned to the only person or only thing I could ever turn to. And he just stepped into our life and just changed my entire life. And I said, God, if you give me my wife, I'll give you my life. Hmm. And He's held me to it. And if I don't have prayer, I have nothing. That is my anchor. That's my roots. That is what keeps me grounded and keeps me going every single day. For the 8 years that I fought for my job to get back out there on the football field, that's exactly what it was being in prayer daily.
The thing is that you had a rough childhood like I did. I'm the product of a rape. My mother was a 40-year-old home nurse raped by the alcoholic son of the elderly man she cared for. She got pregnant, only child. She'd never been pregnant. And she went to have me aborted, and a doctor, for whatever reason, said no. And put an ad in the paper and gave the little boy away that wasn't aborted. I had a foster home for a little while. I met her when I was 15. She was like seeing Jesus, bore the essence of beauty and purity and innocence. And God used her to change a very broken boy's life.
Amen.
And God called me to preach, and she knew the only way she'd get me there was get me elected youth pastor, which made me sit on the platform. But God did call me to preach. And at 18, I started, and Billy Graham found me. At 19, I told Franklin, he brought me into your dysfunctional family as one functional member to help all of you, and I have, and they've all been right here being helped, including Franklin. He died laughing. Here's the deal. All of this comes as an answer to prayer. I've got right at 30 grandchildren now.
Wow.
We have 11 grandchildren, 10 married, and they've given us 18 great-grandchildren. The product of a rape, a miracle. In many ways, your broken life, you ended up in a boy's home, a child's home.
Yeah, I was unwanted pregnancy. I could have been easily aborted. There was not a lot of choices back then, and I'm glad that we chose life over death, and it's amazing what you could do if you just let somebody.
Look what's happened in your journey. See, when it should never have been hit like it was, you should never have had to have the child you did, but God saved you from that. But He also took you through a very difficult, challenging thing that might be used to help you coach the family of God, the team of God, to look like the Son of God and to look like the dream the Father has that looks like the Son and is actually looks like His children. And I think we can see, I'm seeing the smile on your face right now. You wrote this not because everybody's talking into writing a book. I think you have purpose in it. What do you want this book to accomplish?
That if God could do something as miraculous as that with a schmuck like me, imagine what he could do with everybody else. I mean, I'm just one guy from nowhere. And if we all put ourselves together, imagine what God could do with everybody. I mean, that's inspiring. That's totally inspiring that God can use the simplest of people to accomplish great things.
We're going to be staying together in prayer. I'll do everything we can. I want you, where would people find you and what you're doing if they wanted in any way help you do what God's put them before?
I know I'm not very original. CoachJoeKennedy.com. And
okay.
It has a link to everything, to the book, to the movie that's coming out this fall. And I hope it inspires more people to share the Word of God and get off their butts.
If they get on your website and invite you to come speak at some event at their church, would you consider
that? I would absolutely love to. I will go wherever I am called.
What is the movie title this fall?
Average Joe.
Okay. All right. Listen, this is a man of God. This man is an answer to prayer, and his prayers are being answered. And you, in many ways, may be the answer to his prayers, but you also are the answer to Jesus' prayers. Mm-hmm. And that's where we become one, first with the Father in relationship, shaped by the Word of God, and then supernatural unity. That's all the prayer in John 17. He prayed right before he's leaving to leave us here to do what he prayed we would do. And there's a time in last days, which I'm 80, it's certainly last days for me in my life. It would be 100 or 110. I don't care. That's fine. Here's the thing. I want to see the church that Jesus is coming for begin to look like him. That's what Joe wants. That's what this book's for. I hope you get it. I hope you get the book I've written with Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. You know, Joe, we've been feeding the hungry. I preached to millions of people for almost 40 years. And Betty and I went overseas for what amounts to more than 20 years, pushing 30 in our influence. Saving kids' lives, feeding them, drilling water wells. But we've also been setting girls free from sexual trafficking and have built places for them to live. And we have given them a future. When I say we, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. We can give new life and miraculous freedom to people who never had a chance. Truly the least of these, the overlooked. I want you to listen to a pastor, a missionary, and understand what he's sharing with you, that only you, yielded to God's love and in prayer, can make happen and continue. Watch carefully.
You know, when I first heard about human trafficking, I thought there is no way that this could be happening. How could humans be selling other humans? But then to think about children being sold to adults, honestly, that just absolutely breaks my heart. You see, globally, there's close to 50 million people in modern slavery, and more than 10 million of those are children. These are children being bought or sold for labor, for sex, and forced into marriages. We must work alongside law enforcement to find these children, and then we must help these children on their journey towards healing from their trauma. They need our love, they need support, they need encouragement, they need unique, tailored educational and vocational programs to help them to rebuild their lives. The Child Rescue Centre is a place where children often come straight for an operation with law enforcement. These kids are scared, they don't know who to trust, but over time, as our team supports them, the kids start to feel safe. They start to learn, they start to grow, and eventually they begin to dream. You know, helping children heal from trauma is a long journey. It takes the efforts of so many people. But together, we can make a difference in the life of each child. And it's your support, your dedication, your generosity that helps us to continue this work with law enforcement to rescue kids, but also to help to restore the lives of children. So we just want to say thank you for helping to provide the Child Rescue Centre and for supporting all these activities that are changing the lives of children. Thank you for taking a stand against this injustice.
When Betty and I went to see the children in their poverty and in areas like the sex capital of the world where 747s come every day, filled with men coming to have sex with little children, little girls primarily, all day from all over the world. And you could see what was happening to them, Betty. And then we went out where the poor were, and we saw where they would buy a child, maybe 8, 10 years old, for $50 to $100, or they would give them a radio to the family, or maybe a small television if they had maybe a couple of girls, and they would take them into slavery. And then we found people who were planning their lives in the midst, but they didn't have a place and they were renting houses. And we went over there and we said, we're gonna rent the houses. You find them, you help the girls. And then we ultimately started building places like you saw there and all over the different countries where the missionaries could bring them. And after they had set them free, began to build it up. And you'll notice years ago, we would let you see the children singing in English. We taught them English, taught them, got them educated. Many of them are leaders in different countries all over the world, third world. And you saved their lives. You, God, through you, supporting the missionaries that God sent, and they moved into the pit of hell to set people free. And so we are now literally training them. And you got to save facilities. We don't let you see their faces anymore. But we don't quit changing their faces and their futures and their lives. Did you know for $128 we can save a child? $128 that year, save a child and start the process of restoration, reach, rescue, and restore. But now, some of our friends have given us a gift matching $320,000, which means if you gave $64, you'd save a child. Think about this. $128 gift to save one, you save two. And you know, Betty, what I always do. I try to get you to think bigger than most people think. Could you save 10? $1,280? No, it'll save 20. 20. Would you do that? Father, there are people watching who can do it. Some can do more. Help everybody do what they can. In Jesus' name. Would you touch the overlooked? Would you save the least of these that Jesus says, my sheep who really know me, that's what they do. And they minister to me. Would you right now go get your bank card, use it like a check? That's how you should always use it. If you write a check, make it to Life. But go on that number or go online and tell us you're putting that check in the mail. We have to know it's coming. We have to know we have the support. We have to tell the missionaries. If you go online and use that card, make the best gift you can right now, please. And you ask for the gifts that we're offering, please. Because what we offer you will help you grow spiritually and actually give you steps to turning this nation back to freedom and saving freedom's future. Go right now. Give life to a child. Give them a future. Please, do it right now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help rescue one child can be double to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the brand new book from James Robison and Jay Richards, Fight the Good Fight. This book will open your eyes to what's at stake and the unwavering truth that God isn't finished with our nation. It's time to fight the good fight and return to unshakable biblical principles. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the NIV Large Print Thin Line Bible. This easy-to-carry, easy-to-read NIV Bible with comfort print allows you to take in more of God's Word each time you open your Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I just got through speaking to two of the paramilitary officers that work here on this border. They are so grateful for our mission partners that are here working with them, helping to identify those children and young people that are being trafficked. And friends, I can promise you, right across that border is the pit that young people never come home from. The fact is, without your help, we can't keep those workers here. So we need you, and we need you right now. Your gift right now is the difference between someone who is rescued, someone who is prevented from being trafficked, or someone who is literally stepping off the cliff of no return. And so I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart, go right now and make your best gift. Help us, please.
You know, Betty, I've never seen anyone love their family and love others more than you. And God used you to change my life. I've never seen anyone fight for freedom and participation in the process of preserving freedom, even in the process of choosing good leaders. You know how hard Jay Richards and I worked to write Fight the Good Fight. And I'm going to tell you something. The stage is set for the greatest awakening in the history of the world. The enemy has showed everybody clearly how ugly he is, how damaging and deadly he is, how destructive he is. And this is the way out. Ask for the book. We have a beautiful Bible and a beautiful bronze for the various gifts. But the greatest gift you're giving life and you're giving freedom. I want to tell you also, you want Joe's book. Of course, you can get it online. Go to the bookstore. You want it. You help us save lives of these children, set them free. We'll gladly send it to you along with other gifts. Joe, you and I are in this fight together.
Thank you, brother.
And it all is a result of prayer, even though we had challenges. The challenges America faces are not too big for God. And if we come together like a family, we can correct the course, can't we?
Well said.
I love you, man.
Love you,
I'm
brother.
Glad we got to meet and be friends. Hey, let's all be friends and let's be family and let's fulfill our Father's vision.
Amen.
Let's fulfill His dream. And let's see His power poured out through His people. I love you. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing life.
You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
I've not known the meaning of that until you said something today.
In a special moment with James and Betty, Jack Hibbs shares his concern for today's culture.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.